You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. I've been spring cleaning my office sanctuary. I mean, properly getting in there and reorganising it. And if ever you've done that with a space that actually means something to you and has accumulated an awful lot of stuff, as my office sanctuary felt like it had, well, you'll know that it throws up all sorts of unexpected treasures as you open the drawers, look in the cupboards, dust over the shelves. Mine threw up, and I can't quite believe I'm saying this, mine threw up 16 sets of oracle cards, 3 sets of tarot cards, and a very respectable collection of books about decks, spreads, divination systems, and the art of reading cards. And I stood there in the middle of all the sorting out, and I was looking at these cards and tarot and books, just looking at the pile of these extraordinary accumulated things. And I thought, you know, Amanda, something has to change. But how do you even begin to make a decision about which of these precious items can stay in your sanctuary and which should go? Because when every deck in the collection has its own specific energy, its own personality, its own particular gift that it wants to share with you, when each deck holds the potential and promise of something, and you maybe haven't fully explored all of that yet. Well, what do you do? You know, where do you start? This is the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson. And on the show this week, we are looking at oracle cards. And as well as looking at what they are and how they differ from tarot, how to choose a deck that genuinely calls to you, it's also about what do you do with all the decks you are ready to release so that they can find a new home. Whether you're completely new to oracle cards or, like me, you're standing in the middle of a very large collection wondering what comes next, I think this show is for you. So there I was, surrounded by all of these decks, and the first thing I noticed, the very first thing, was that there were certain decks that it was out of the question to even consider releasing. Not because they were more valuable or especially more beautiful even, but because they were mine, there was something categorically, deeply, non-negotiably, I will never let go of you, mine. My medicine cards, for instance, my first set of cards. Don't know if you know them, medicine cards. It has the discovery of power through the ways of animals, created by David Carson and Jamie Sams. And I've had these cards for nearly 30 years. I have to tell you, a couple of them, they've got chew marks in them, courtesy of one of my dogs. They are battered, some of them. Some of them have got coffee stains. The edges of some of the cards are lightly split. They are not pristine cards by any stretch of the imagination. And yet they are absolutely not going anywhere. Because the relationship I have with those cards is layered with so much, you know, with all sorts of memories and with my practice and learning together. it's a bit like old friends, and we've walked the spiritual and energetic pathway together over many years. So the chew marks, for example, I think are part of their charm. They make me smile every single time, because as well as me understanding that the chew mark actually adds to whatever the card is trying to tell me, it also reminds me of the puppy that managed to get hold of the cards in the first place. If you're sorting through then a collection of your own sets of cards, or if you're wondering which deck is right for you now, well, why don't we start there? Start with a feeling of absolute non-negotiability. What could you simply not hand back? What could you not release? What could you not let go of? And what would feel wrong for you to release? And it's an instinct, I think. The instinct is deeply buried in a kind of connective energy that the card deck and you begin to share. For me, I feel it very much in my heart and in my solar plexus chakra. I don't know where you feel it, but that's where I do. So the deck or decks that I can't let go of, they've bonded into my energy field. My energy field senses and knows it, and I suspect the cards do as well. Now, I've got oracle card decks and I've got tarot card decks, and I think they're really quite different energetically. And so it makes sense to spend just a moment on the distinction, because I think it matters a lot when you're thinking about passing cards on or even choosing where to begin with an entirely new deck for that matter. Tarot cards develop a relationship with their reader over time as well. It's a very deep one, and it's a particular kind of relationship. The more you work with a tarot deck, the more the deck attunes into your energy, your way of asking questions, your particular relationship with the archetypes, for example. And that attunement means that tarot decks, in my view, and this is only my opinion, they shouldn't simply be passed along to a new reader without significant thought. You see, the tarot cards may not be prepared to let the bond go. They may choose not to work with somebody new because they are so loyal. Their loyalty has been fully established. I have a few tarot decks myself, and while I don't work with them in the traditional sense, like sitting down and laying out spreads and doing readings, I do understand what they are. I get it. The cards bond with the reader and the reader bonds with the cards, and so they become an extension of each other. Giving up that relationship would be like giving up one of the deepest, most significant relationships of your life. Also, and I mean this very sincerely, not all readers are of the light. I'm not sure I'd want a second-hand tarot deck unless I knew for certain that the original owner that this particular set of cards had worked with was a reader of the lighter style pathways. No matter how much you say you can cleanse the energy down, I'm not so sure that you can. Just like I don't like a second-hand crystal ball for the same reason. Second-hand tarot, yeah, it's much the same. I would act with caution. Now, oracle cards, I feel, and again, it's just my feeling, I think they're of an entirely different quality of consciousness to tarot cards. You bond with them in a similar way, but oracle cards, well, they seem to carry a different light structure, a different kind of energetic patterning that you connect with. So the tarot picks up on whatever energetic light or shadow the reader has, and then it becomes that light or shadow. Whereas the oracle decks, they carry their own light, and you connect with that light, but you don't really become one another. And oracle work, well, I think they work for higher consciousness, and they're extraordinarily willing in the service of that consciousness and of greater good. Or at least the ones I've been fortunate enough to work with have been. Oracle cards seem to be keen and helpful and genuinely delighted to serve you. where tarot tends towards depth and a kind of loyalty and a long relationship and an energetic exchange with the reader, the oracle tends towards a kind of a generous spirit and an openness and readiness, or at least that's my experience. An oracle deck is not bound to one reader, I don't think, in the same way as tarot can be. Yes, of course, they are your oracle cards and it's better that you and only you touch those cards. Yes, I get that. But oracle cards can't have their inner light changed. Whereas I feel, and I'm sure I'll get criticism for saying this, I feel tarot cards can. But I'm getting slightly ahead of myself. Before we talk about how to choose, for example, the cards that you would keep, how you go ahead and pass on what no longer you feel belongs beside you, I ought really to wind back to the beginning, because this is a show for everyone, including those of you who've never even held a divination deck in your hands. Oracle cards are mirrors. They're designed almost to plunder the deep depths of your energy field and then reflect what they find back, or draw out what you already know at an incredibly deep level, but perhaps needed it bringing clearly into your awareness, like bringing it up to the surface. Tarot cards are not like that. Tarot cards seem to be more about guidance and divination. So when you draw a card from an oracle deck, you're opening up a kind of doorway that releases your deeply held energies and messages, or something that has been blocked. And oracle cards are all about what your intuition wants you to know, or what your guides want to remind you of, what it wishes you to connect with. Typically, I think if I need to make that kind of connection, I always reach to the medicine cards and for the animal totems that the cards contain. But other people like angels and dragons, they're like fairies, they're like woodland creatures or flowers. So I need to find a way to release some of the oracle card decks that I have, and perhaps tarot cards too, because I'm trying to make space on the shelves in my sanctuary. I'm trying to have less, and that less involves me being able to choose which are the tools that I reach out for every time and which are the tools that I don't. Okay, so I'm keeping the medicine cards, but now what about the others?
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Amanda Nelson. We're talking about the moment in my sanctuary as I was doing a well-needed clearing up. I suddenly found myself surrounded by a pile of 16 oracle decks, 3 tarot decks, and a whole load of books about divination and card spreads and reading. And in many ways, I need to be discerning at the moment. I want to be discerning about what stays in the area of the house where I do my most profound work. And what I'm looking for is, as well as a deep loyalty and a connection, I'm looking to work out a number of different ways of not necessarily working out which cards I'm going to keep, because deep down inside I probably will, you know, if I had unlimited space, I wouldn't be letting go of any of them at all. But I have to find a way of almost systematically saying, well, unless this particular deck satisfies this objective or this value, then it's time to let it go. Now, an oracle deck is very much its own world. If you've ever used or if you've ever seen oracle decks, you understand that they are almost their own little captive spaces. It's the best way I can describe it. But tarot cards, they work within a very fixed, almost universal structure. You've got major arcana cards, minor arcana cards, four different suits. It's 78 cards with all sorts of layered meanings drawn from numerology and the Kabbalah and astrology and elemental symbolism. And all of it has like an interplay between one another. So where the cards sit together, how they work together, incredibly, incredibly specialised. I think an oracle deck is entirely created by whoever designed it, the energy they wanted to bring, the kind of the kind of totems or the kind of spirits or the kinds of guides that you yourself want to work with. So the oracle cards always have their own theme, and they tend to have their own energetic intentions, their own energetic vibrations. Oracle cards are very, very different. Tarot cards seem to have a weight to the energy to them. I don't know if you've found that when you've picked up tarot decks. Tarot decks have a kind of anchoring, grounding kind of energy, but the oracle cards are all different. And oracles often use their own sort of visual languages and have their own particular way of speaking their own truth with you. So one of Oracle's greatest gifts really is that you can choose the set of cards that seem to speak to you in a language that feels most comfortable to you, right? You can't do that with tarot. With tarot, you get the language as it has always been, unless, of course, somebody has come up with an innovative way of redefining tarot. But in the main, tarot cards all have the same sets of cards, all have similar meanings. But when you encounter an oracle deck, it will call you, and some won't call you at all. So you'll be left completely cold by some and completely mesmerised by others. It's like some kind of energetic gateway opens up and there becomes a connection, and all sorts of revelations can begin when you have oracle cards. And the deck often stays really quiet, and then it starts speaking to you before you've drawn a single card for a reading. So what do I mean by that? Well, you will pick the deck up and there will be a silence there. And then the card connects with you, makes friends with you, and starts chatting with you. I think equally though, if you pick up an oracle deck, if the deck actually feels out of alignment, if it feels wrong, maybe it's too busy for you or too lightweight for you, or maybe you don't work with angels, maybe you prefer to work with dragons, for example. If there's any kind of mismatch, if it's somehow out of any alignment at all with where you are right now or where you're going, oracle cards let you know. It's really helpful. You'll pick up the deck and you go, okay, now I'm not connecting with you. And you might pick up another and go, oh my goodness, where have you been all my life? I think if you try and make a connection with oracle cards when you don't immediately feel that they're a great fit, I'm not so sure that they may ever be a great fit, or at least not in the great fit sense when there is a terrific match. I mean, when I picked up the medicine cards that have been my long time friends, I knew they were a great fit. So I've been gifted oracle card decks for birthdays and Christmases. I don't know if you've ever had that. And I'll confess, I don't think I'll ever use them because that pull simply isn't there. It is an energetic mismatch. I've received them and I'm so grateful that somebody was thoughtful enough to go to a shop and find a fabulous oracle deck for me. But the energetic match is actually to the person who purchased the cards for you. And it's unlikely to be an energetic match for you. So sorting through the oracle decks I have should become easier based on that, which were the ones that were gifted to me and which were the ones that weren't. I won't choose just because it was a gift. I won't choose to give it away because it was a gift. But what I'll do is I put the ones that were a gift into one pile, and I decided that what I would do is connect with those cards and see whether or not they connected with me back, and then choose which stayed and which didn't stay based on the fact that, well, have we even now ever really made that connection? So when you're out choosing a deck, what do you look for? Every oracle card carries a particular flavour, let's call it. It has its own identity. Some are rooted in nature, working with the wisdom of animals. Some are with plants and flowers, season, elements. Some work with goddesses or ancestral energies, numerology, angelic, elemental families, dragons. You know, some feel ceremonial when you use them, and they carry also ancient vibrations, and others are, well, you'd have to describe them as the new kids on the block. They have much more of a contemporary feel. What do you like to connect to when you draw your oracle card in the morning? I like to connect with nature. I like to connect with animals. It seems to me that the animals are what I love the best. Each one of us, I think, searches for the cards that move something inside of us. Some decks are going to feel very soft and reassuring, and some are bolder, a lot more challenging to work with. Some have a kind of poetic, romantic feeling, and others are like really in your face. Okay, and it really depends the way you like to work. Some have specific types of illustrations that you will quickly respond to, and they also have different kinds of messaging. Some are clearer than others. Messaging for me, especially clear messaging, is something that's really important. And something else about the messaging is that I like the messaging to be hopeful. It's not that I bury my head in the sand when the messages come through, but I always, always want it to feel as if there is always hope, and that through hope we will always find the way. It's wonderful energy, hope. So there isn't any kind of card set that I would say is better or worse than another. Although there are some, I have to say, that really connect with much more of the spiritual population than others do. And I'm sure we all know that some of the Doreen Virtue cards, for example, though there are many cards out there, Doreen Virtue's cards are wonderful. And so are Colette Baron Reed's cards. I like those too. I think that what matters, though, is the fit between the deck's personality and yours. That way, the card that connects with you is going to connect with you much, much more than others do. I notice, actually, that thinking about the decks, and when I was going through the decks as well, I absolutely know I am keeping both of the oracle decks that I have that involve animals as totems. So I've got the medicine cards, and I've also got Colette Baron Reed's Spirit Animal Oracle, whose illustrations I absolutely love. The artwork in that deck is extraordinary if you've ever seen it. So perhaps that tells me something about the visual language that seems to genuinely speak to my energy field. And it's worth asking yourself the same question. What imagery keeps finding its way back to me? What is the type of oracle that seems to find a way to speak to me with clarity the most? Most decks also do come with a guidebook, although I have had decks recently where the actual guidebook is print and print on demand, and so you have to pay more for that. But typically you would find that most decks come in a box with a guidebook, and the quality of those guidebooks really varies considerably. So anyone beginning to work with Oracle cards, that guidebook is genuinely valuable. It's your foundation, you see. It becomes a companion to your own developing intuition. I always look for guidebooks that open space for my intuition rather than a guidebook that conveys very fixed interpretations. You know, there's only one way of looking at what this particular card is saying. And the best of them, I think, invite you to find the truth that resonates deeply within your own circumstances, your own experiences, rather than handing you a single meaning and that's that. So that also helped me realise a few more of the decks may not be a great match for me. The actual guidebooks themselves were what made me choose to release the deck. So I have some decks that I really don't like, and I have some decks where I really do like the guidebook. And something else that I also found when I was going through these decks, I have some decks that I really don't like the illustrations on, and others, like a set of manifestation cards that I've got, they have one word descriptions like rebirth or manifestation. They're very, very plain, and I'm not very keen on that at all. It's almost as if my energy field would consider that to be a fairly dry biscuit. Now, you might find those kinds of cards absolutely perfect for you. There is no type of card that is good or bad, better or worse for each individual. Just because I'm not keen on those cards too, because I find them a bit dry, well, why don't I just release those? Let them go to somebody who actually loves that style. And I think there are also some pretty practical considerations as well that might help you decide which decks to keep or not if you were ever in this situation similar to me. I don't get on with absolutely massive, massive Oracle cards. And I don't want really teeny tiny cards either, apart perhaps from the little angel cards with the one words on them, which completely then negates everything I've just been saying. But let's just stick with the bigger cards, all right? I don't really, really like the massive cards, and I don't want tiny, almost like quarter size cards either. And I don't like cards that are too stuck and sticky, depending on the finish, and I don't like it if they're too slippy and they fall over the place when I try and shuffle them as well. I do know some people that say, well, you shuffle until the card jumps out, and I get it, but that's quite different to shuffling the cards and them constantly all falling on the floor or scattering around you when you're trying to do a reading. I think a deck that feels physically satisfying to work with also becomes a natural part of your energy practice, don't you? So anything about it that feels awkward or ungainly, it's never going to be the deck that you reach for first. Why would I want to use a deck that has all of that stuckness when I am trying to unstuck myself? Why would I want something that's all over the place when I am trying to ground and balance and harmonize myself? When I want my central axis to be anything but chaotic. Interesting. So Oracle decks, they range from as few as 36 cards. There might be 60. I've heard of one set which is 100 or more. There's no ideal number, but it's worth thinking about what serves you. You know, a smaller deck, does that feel as if it comes up short? It's going to deliver the same sorts of cards again and again with much greater frequency. That can feel really great, can feel focused, but it might also be a bit repetitive, especially when what you're working with requires nuance. A much larger deck, 100 cards, let's say, right? That offers more of the range and the nuance, but I think that would be just too many cards to connect with. What about you? What do you think? do you think around about 60 odd cards is about the right number? Maybe you prefer 30? I don't know. For most people, I think it's somewhere between 40 and 50 cards. I think that's what offers a really great balance. I don't think it's a real deal breaker for me, though, whether it's only got 18 cards or whether it's got 300. You know, I can't use that as a way to establish which card decks to let go. I do think it's much easier to base it on the decks you reach for most often, and also on the way the decks function when they're in your hands.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
This is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson. And this show is about oracle deck cards. I sat in my sanctuary office at home and I was trying to do some sorting out, really, a bit of reorganising, spring cleaning. And I found such a lot of oracle cards and tarot cards and divination books that go with cards and how to read cards, decks, etc. And I knew that I needed to sift and sort through these and work out which ones to keep and which to let go of. I mean, there were some decks which I would always go to first and other decks which I would never choose first. And that's really because something about them just didn't provide me with that great connection. You need a great connection to be able to read the cards and listen and learn from the cards. And because they didn't inspire me through their visual art or their messaging, or it might be through the finish on the cards, it could be any number of things. When I looked at the decks in front of me, I knew which ones I would never allow to move on, and I knew which ones I needed to sit and have a really good think about it. And I also had to find a way of it being okay to let those cards go. I didn't want to feel any kind of guilt or remorse or loss in the process. I wanted it to feel good as I did this. So I felt delight when I had worked out how to do this, and I'd love to share it with you. Actually, you see, oracle cards especially are cards that are really helpful, and they're very eager, and they genuinely have this desire towards profound connection with whoever they work with. And if I were to keep any of these cards and prevent them from having that, they would never really truly fulfill their intended potential. And I think that would be sad. These cards, they want to be useful. They want deep connection. And I think they want to be loved, like we all do. And I needed to set these card decks free so that they too could find their person. It was, in fact, my duty to release them and set their energy free. To hold on to them would hold them captive. And I could never do that. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, oh, there's a shop in Glastonbury High Street that I had visited and that sells decks of brand new tarot and oracle cards, but it also sold decks of used cards. And I thought, you know, that would be the best place to deliver these decks of oracle cards or tarot cards to next time I go to Glasgow. So I think that would then give them the greatest chance of connecting with their new person. And I think, therefore, it's best for them to go to that shop. The shop would be such a great place to pass back the tarot cards I'm not connecting with as well. And what I love about the shop is that if I explain why I'm bringing the decks into the shop, I'm not looking for any money for them or anything like that. It would be my honour to allow these cards to find their new person. I think the cards deserve to be treasured. I think they need to find their way so that they can serve. So I suppose for me, this sounds like the best place to pass on those unused oracle cards. I've only really used them once, and the tarot decks that I don't like. They need to be in a place where people go to actively seek out the very types of decks that I'm ready to release to a new home. What do you think? I think if you, like me, find yourself sitting with a collection of crystals or cards or crystal balls, not that I'd ever give up my crystal balls, but, you know, if you found yourself sitting with a collection of books or anything else that's outgrown its current space in your life, I think I'd encourage you to start sorting them out and see it as an energetic act of love. Sort through them and allow them to find their person if it is not you. So here we go. Here's a summary of the way I would approach it. This is what I learned when I was sorting through all those oracle decks and tarot and the books as well. So start off as you always should do. What are the things that are your non-negotiables? There is absolutely no way you're letting go of those. All right. And then with the pile of oracle cards you've got, provided that there's some still in your pile, that you're not in a position where you're refusing to give away any of them. OK, you first put the decks that you're not going to part with, regardless of the condition or the age or the logic to why. OK, they are going to stay. So you put them back on your shelf. I'll share with you that I think for the time being, any of the tarot cards I've got are also staying with me. I don't know why. You might say, yes, but Amanda, you've just given me all the reasons why they shouldn't be staying with you. Yeah, that's true. But I have a sense at the moment that it's not time to release those cards, and therefore I have to go with my sense, okay? I think when the time comes, I know that I will release them. But at the moment, I've got this big question mark and the cards are asking me not to release them yet. So, of course, I'm not going to release them. I think that any of the oracle cards that I was gifted, but that I've never really become connected to because the pull was never there, let's say, I think there'll always be an energetic mismatch with those. So they'll definitely be going down to Glastonbury. And any of the remaining decks where the illustrations leave me a bit cold, if the language that's actually on the cards isn't going to move me, and again, the connection is unlikely to deepen over time and it doesn't have the hopefulness that I'm looking for, yeah, those will be going down to the shop in Glastonbury as well. And then any that are left, I'm going to look at the guidebook. Is the messaging a little bit minimal or vague, or is it a bit plain? Is it closed off? How much or how little guidance is there? And how useful is it? And then, if there are any left, the deck. How does it feel in my hand? The hand feel? Is it too large or too slippy, too sticky? Because I don't want slippy or sticky when I'm trying to get balance through using the cards. Who would want to be stuck with a sticky card? Who would want to be slippery when they're trying to release themselves from any chaos? I want something that's comfortable to work with. I can't be doing with anything that's uncomfortable because it will bring discomfort into my life and the reading. So they're never going to be the ones that I reach for. And so it's time to let those go to another home too. And so gradually I'm whittling down through all of these different decks. The decks that remained, believe it or not, I only had three decks of 16 that I hung on to, because they're going to be the ones that ticked all the boxes and that actually I'm going to reach for every single time. They were the ones to hang on to. And the other oracle cards, the other 13 of the decks that I have, it was time to let them go. I want to pass on the decks. I want to set them free and release the energy that is currently unused, unwanted and trapped within them. And if it's oracle or tarot, I think they deserve a second chance, don't you? I'd like to take them, release them to a place where other people are actively seeking them out and who want to make a connection with them. A specialist shop is my choice, but it could be into a spiritual community. Maybe you have a spiritual community near you. Maybe there's a spiritualist church, or perhaps there's a group that meets that do yoga. Perhaps they sit and they meditate. Maybe they do breath work. Wherever you feel there is a community that would be happy to receive something that you are not connecting with. Because as you explain to them that there simply wasn't a connection and you wanted to release the energy and let it go to someone it could make a connection with, those communities will get that straight away. I think it's really important that the cards have a second chance to find their person, don't you? That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can uplevel any part of your life.